In case you haven't noticed, we live in wildfire country. And I want to start today's JX by welcoming a couple of heroes that I'll introduce in just a moment. I'm Mike Green. In preparing for this important conversation today, I took a walk down memory lane using the Almeda Fire Loss and Recovery Dashboard. It contains a lot of information about the Almeda Fire of 2020 that swept through Ashland, Talon, and Phoenix, and you can get that link on our site at jeffexchange.org. It has an incredible story map with photos and videos and data graphics, and that fire destroyed nearly 3,000 homes and 200 businesses just in the first 24 hours. It displaced more than 7,000 people, including nearly a third of students in the Talon Phoenix School District. But that fire did something else unexpected. It pulled communities together, and out of that devastation was born the Community Rebuilding Fund. Joining the JX are two of the heroes of that fund who helped rebuild lives from the ashes of the Almeda Fire. Deanne Everson is the CEO and Executive Director of the United Way of Jackson County. Welcome, Deanne.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike. I don't think I'm a hero. Kristen, maybe, but I'm not.
And to Kristen Monahan with the Oregon Disaster Funders Network. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I really want to thank you both right up at the start on behalf of so many residents in our region for the incredible work that you both have done and continue to do. So, Kristen, I want to start with you. Can you talk about how the Oregon Disaster Funders Network originated and who are the funders in this network?
Absolutely. So it originated because the wildfires that our state experienced were absolutely record shattering. It was a time where there was such a unique time. The need was so great. It needed an equally unique and great response. And so it was a call from the governor, actually, that helped to prompt the fund and talked to several of the state's larger and statewide serving foundations, particularly the Oregon Community Foundation, the Ford Family Foundation, and Meyer Memorial Trust, and asked them to partner together to provide a coordinated response, collaborative response together from the philanthropic sector. So while those three funders helped to steward the fund and helped to distribute the funds that were raised, the money that powered the fund really came from all over. It came from individuals, it came from donors, it came from people impacted by the fire, it came from folks outside of our state, really from everywhere. So it was a really outpouring of support for the state of Oregon and for all of those impacted by these devastating wildfires.
So many people were helped. Can you tell us more about the Community Rebuilding Fund and how much disaster relief has been deployed overall into what areas?
Absolutely. So in total, the fund distributed a little under $12 million, and they made a total of 120 grants all across the state. And what I think was really special about the fund is that it was strategic in providing support through three really distinct phases. So the first phase addressed the capacity of the organizations serving those impacted. So, you know, we were deep in COVID at the time. And so many social service agencies, community organizations were, you know, low on staff capacity, were pulled in a lot of directions they weren't already, and now had the fires on top of it. So the first round of support, which was 34 grants across the state, provided support just to build up the capacity of those organizations that were answering the call of those impacted. The second phase of the support was a rolling open call awards, and that was defined by the community that was impacted. We pulled together an advisory team from each of the impacted communities who got to help define how that funding was spent and what was supported. And they selected that, you know, first priority was supporting those directly impacted. The second was making sure that there were systems and future systems and infrastructure put into place, and about four or five other support support focus areas? And then the third phase was for, just the last year and a half, what are those continued needs that we're seeing? Because recovery, unfortunately, still has a ways to go in many of the communities, especially those that were completely wiped out. So, and then of those, of the support, there was about 34% of that funding went to the Almeida wildfire communities, about 20% to the Holiday Farm wildfire communities, 12% to Santiam, 11% to statewide initiatives, and then about 5 to 8% to Echo Mountain, Archie Creek, Riverside, and the 242 wildfires, respectively.
So it sounds like a good chunk came our way. Deanne,
yes.
You're here in Jackson County, and the United Way is known all over the country for extraordinary work. So we know you were already busy when this fire hit. How did you manage to respond to such an unexpected and massive need in our region with a ton of logistical complexities when you were already really busy?
Well, the reality is everyone shows up when things go that wrong. And so none of us did it by ourselves, and everyone dove in. There was a place in the disaster and in the recovery efforts for everyone, and everyone did show up. The rebuilding fund provided more than $3.6 million to Jackson County. Of course, our fire was the worst of those Labor Day fires, and United Way ultimately raised, apart from that, over $6 million. And even though we helped thousands of people, recovery is still happening, and the work still needs to be done. But we couldn't have gotten as far as quickly as we did without the Community Rebuilding Fund.
Oh, absolutely. What do you remember most from that experience, and what's happening today to continue supporting the rebuilding of lives?
Well, I'll tell you, I happened to be headed to the New Spirit Village grand opening, which immediately follows my interview, which is a affordable housing development, permanently affordable because it's on a land trust and it's home ownership and fire survivors are prioritized, and it's 84 homes. And certainly the need is great. Age Plus Housing is building another development in Talent. There are lots of developments going on to still help fire survivors permanently resettle. And we do this with all of those foundations' help. And the reason for that is their funding is so much less restricted than government funding. And so people are able to do creative and innovative things thanks to the Community Rebuilding Fund. I'll tell you my favorite memory out of the tragedy was people from the Rebuilding Fund and foundations calling me and saying, could you just go into our online portal and sign your name? We're sending you $100,000. Go do it. That just doesn't happen in the real world. And yet it happened. And people were responding and showing up. And hundreds of thousands of donations came from not only all over this country, but in fact around the world to help people in need.
Wow, that gives me the chills. I'm talking with Deanne Everson, CEO and Executive Director of the United Way of Jackson County, and Kristen Monahan with the Oregon Disaster Funders Network. You can join the conversation by email at jx@jeffnet.org. Deanne, I know you have a schedule conflict and have to run soon, so I'm going to direct this question to you. Can you give us a sense of the role that equity, inclusion, and resilience has played in the United Way's response to rebuilding communities?
You know, it's been the top priority for everyone, not just the United Way, because what we know for sure is that the people who are left behind are often people of color and people in poverty. And so they have to be the top priority for all of us in recovery. Quite frankly, we couldn't have planned a better fire for people in need in our community than what struck. And so it's been the top priority throughout the process. And I hope deeply that people felt prioritized and continue to feel prioritized, although I know that's hard work.
And that work continues.
It definitely is the top priority.
And that work continues. Now, I know a lot of students were displaced as well. How is the United Way addressing that issue?
Well, we did partner with the Phoenix Talent School District because we have to keep in mind, as you said at the beginning, every single child in that school district ran from flames that day. So not only did they lose their homes, they have some lifelong trauma attached to that. So supporting those kids goes on for years to come, and rebuilding their lives goes on for years to come. So our work isn't anywhere near done, but it certainly has been made easier by people's support.
Well, we certainly appreciate the work that you're doing and the support that you continue to receive. I know you have to run, Deanne, and if you can stay on, that's great. But if not, we truly appreciate your time on the JX. So just let me know if you need to drop off. My engineer will let me know that you're gone. Kristen, the latest numbers show that more than 100 fires are burning across the state right now, with over 10,000 people under evacuation orders. And you have an activation process for your network. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, too, and really importantly, is right now, of those fires, five of them currently are identified as mega fires, which in 2020, we also had five mega fires. And so the situation is really, once again, extraordinary here as we move into August. But the Oregon Disaster Funders Network does have a process for activating. And the network, it consists of about 35 of Oregon's grant makers that coordinate a variety of ways through monthly meetings, through shared resources, through emails, through phone calls, even through text. But it's funders working together to coordinate giving so that this doesn't fall on any one funder's shoulders, that they can all be stronger together and contribute towards meet different needs across the state. So when the network is activated, it is it means there's the disasters that are happening are a threat to lives, to health, to homes, to structures, and to infrastructure in that order. The network is also activated when a disaster is clearly exceeding a community's ability to respond or provide resources to community members on their own, and they're asking and needing for outside support, for additional support. And also, the third point of activation is when the network's management team, when we're able to connect directly with the impacted community members and a diversity of organizations to verify the information, to really learn and understand what those needs are. So being able to help, but only if we have the capacity to really do it right and to learn from those directly impacted. So when the network is activated, that means that all of the funders go, they're alerted to the fact that funding needs will be coming in soon if they aren't already. So they can start whatever internal processes that they each independently have. So unlike the Community Rebuilding Fund, which was a pooled fund, so all the money went into a single pot and was then distributed out, the funders network, each participating funder maintains autonomy over the funds that they distribute. So each individual funder has their own processes, their own criteria, their own geographic areas for what they prefer to fund. And so it's really more about coordinating those resources. But the activation alerts them that these processes are coming in. They can start their internal processes. And then that also means that we have, as the funds managers, we have a heightened communication, additional communication with county emergency coordinators, with emergency operations centers, with directly with the community impacted. We are actively seeking out what's happening, where can we be helpful, what are the funding needs, and then share those back out with the group, you know, collate them, organize them, and share them with the group so that really to reduce the burden on those who are impacted, so that as they're looking around for who's going to help fund this, how many grant applications do I have to write, how many forms do I have to fill out, it's really I think there's two or three questions on a form on the Oregon Disaster Funders Network website, and then those go directly to the 35 funders participating. And then each of the individual funders can determine if they want to fund those needs in part or in full, and we help coordinate that and help do some matchmaking and support. And so that's the general rundown of an activation. So as you can imagine, right now we are certainly activated, and typically we activate around a particular disaster or a particular recovery need from a disaster in the past. And right now we are activated truly for the sheer size and scale and scope of the wildfires happening right now in Oregon.
Well, Kristen, we're going to have to leave it there. I was going to ask you what's the process of applying for funding, but can you give us a website really quick?
Absolutely. The website is the Oregon Disaster Funders Network.org. And on there, you will see under activation and funding, apply. There's an apply here, and you can or share a need and apply, and you can.
We'll put it on our website. Kristen,
wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us. Don't go away. The JX will be right back.